Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We're on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEO Queen. You can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen. So today's guest on the SEO Queen Tech Show is another podcast host on the Bashani Radio Network and also one of my own personal inspirations. I wish I would have known about Christy Rutherford in about 2001, 2002, 2003, around there, my life would have been a lot different, trust and believe. But she is a globally recognized leader. She's an advisor to executive leaders and businesses. She's a keynote speaker and author. She published 5 best-selling books on Amazon in 8 months. She's a Harvard Business School alumna. Christy is also a certified executive leadership coach from Georgetown University and has been featured in Forbes 3 times. She's the 13th African-American woman to achieve the rank of commander, well, lieutenant colonel is the equivalent, in the U.S. Coast Guard's 225-year history, where her demographic was less than 1%. She responded to the citizens in New Orleans 2 days after Hurricane Katrina and had a 3-year congressional fellowship with Congressman Elijah Cummings. At the House of Representatives, her academic portfolio includes an MBA and also a pastry chef diploma. And she is a Harvard Business School New Ventures Pitch Contest Grandmaster Champion, a member of Cambridge's Who's Who among executives and professionals. She's a career communication STEM technology all-star in the Edward R. Williams Award for Excellence in Diversity. So she has a lot of accolades, you guys. So she's going to be breaking down success and leadership on today. So how are you? And welcome.
Good grief. Podcast is over. You read all of that. We're done. I should have sent you the short-term bio. That's my short bio, though. We could be here all day. You read everything I've done, we'll be here all day.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think what you've done is just amazing. I was reading online about the story that was, I think, on blacknews.com about how your journey with mental health and everything. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month, which is coming up soon. And I mean, there's just so much about you that I just resonates with me. Like, I've had, you know, mental health struggles. I went to MIT, you know, right down the street from Harvard, took classes at Harvard. So a lot of I didn't do the military, though. No military experience. But I just, you know, what made you gravitate to leadership? So let's start there.
That's an interesting question. You know, leadership isn't something that's necessarily sought after. Like, a lot of people are now looking to be leaders and they want people to follow them. But I think it's the other way around. If you serve people and you care about people, then by default, you become a leader. So I wasn't seeking to necessarily be a leader or become a leader. I just am one. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Byproduct of service. It's the byproduct of caring about people. It's the byproduct of, you know, trying to make people better. It's the byproduct of my gift is I don't necessarily see you for who you are. I see you for who you are operating in your full potential. That's my gift. So then my goal becomes, how do I now take you from where you are to get you to see who I see? That's leadership. So leadership was the byproduct of caring about people and liking to win.
Yeah, liking to win. You know, I think a lot of people think that everybody's a winner, and that's just not true. It's just not true.
Well, I don't think everybody wants to be a winner, right? Like, the thing about strong women, we're strong because of the hell we survived, which is what nobody really asks. So we're not strong by default, right? We're not strong. I mean, and we can argue about this and debate about it all day. Some kids come out strong-willed because they know what they want. You don't give a baby some food or change their pamper. They will tell you through their screaming or hold them what they want. And even like a two-year-old, you can't make, my niece is four. You can't make that baby do what she don't want to do. You can't make her eat what she don't want to eat. She's not going to do it. She'll fall out. And you can talk to her all day. You know, they put in the tub when she don't want to take a bath. She will scream bloody murder for an hour.
Kids are like that. My son is the same way.
Yeah, well, you know, what was interesting about now, and we talked about this back in, I think, the late 2000s, I was an intrusive leader and people didn't like it, right? So if I'm trying to get a lot of Black officers and really break the barrier that we weren't getting promoted at the same level as our white counterparts. Some of my peers were content with going to a conference every year, complaining year after year after year. So I'm listening to them passionately plead and complain and yell about why we're not getting past that point of middle leadership, why we're not getting past that point. And this is why we're not getting to the senior levels, because we can't break past the middle glass. And so I ended up creating a solution to that problem. I created a mentorship network in 2007, and it was not well received. Who do you think you are? This isn't your job. And I'm like, I'm just trying to solve the problem that y'all been complaining about. I thought y'all would support it. No, they didn't want it. They were content with complaining. And so the people who participated 13 years later, Z, it took 13 years for me to prove my point. I ain't even there no more. 2020, six Black officers were promoted to captain. I directly mentored four of them, and captain is colonel equivalent. Right. And that's right.
So how many got promoted again?
Six.
And you mentored four of them.
I directly mentored four. I indirectly mentored the other two. Five of them didn't make it. The five who didn't make it told me to kiss their ass in 2007. So I wasn't necessarily looking to prove a point, but I'm trying to solve the problem and say where you're trying to go. 06 captain starts at the mid level. It doesn't start when you're one level below captain. It started 13 years ago with the decisions that you make for your career, understanding how to write your resume, which we call an officer form, you know, evaluation report, understanding how to talk about yourself, understanding how to pick the high profile jobs, understanding this stuff started 13 years ago, not 3 years ago.
So you hit on a good point, because, you know, I've run across people who think, you know, they look at, you know, people like you and myself, and they see what we're accomplishing, and they're like, well, I'm just going to go now and get my degree, and I'm going to do this and that. What they don't understand is, like, when I was 9 years old, I had a vision for my life. I didn't wake up yesterday and decide I wanted to be the SEO queen. No.
It's how do you now capitalize on your untapped intellectual property and put a price tag on your natural skill set? That's what people are missing.
Right.
And, you know, just like you, I've been in the game for a long time. And now the momentum and the wave, you know, we're just now at, I got to calculate these numbers, but we're.
Give me the numbers. Break down the numbers for the listeners.
Like, we're at about $14 million in raises. For women in leadership, since June 2020. I was like, what was I doing before June 2020? I wasn't counting. That's why I got a marketing coach. He's like, Chris, okay, you need to count this stuff. He'd be like this. I need to count that. Yes. So $14 million in salary raises and small business revenue in a pandemic. So we've doubled about 20 women's salaries. We've tripled about 8, and then saved 20 marriages, stopped 6 women from dying and having a nervous breakdown. We've gotten a lot of women off of their medication, brought women home to be present with their children. Joy and healing is the goal. Money is the byproduct. So I'm not necessarily excited about a raise if your house ain't in order. I'm not necessarily excited about a raise if you're still on blood pressure medication and you crazy, right?
Right.
So the money is the byproduct of joy, freedom, and peace. So it's now it's the momentum is building. I'm doing the exact same thing I did in my career for free, or at, you know, mentoring was the best part I enjoyed. I mean, I love my job and I love my career. Mentoring was the best part of that. I didn't know that it was a marketable skill.
Yeah, it really is. Mentorship is something people pay big money for.
Well, the military is free. So, you know, we don't know because we only talk to each other. We don't know people getting paid out here in these streets for the exact same things we doing for free.
Right.
You know, playing the office politics, playing the games, understanding, you know, what to say, who you are, all these things. I've been doing this for 20 years. The job part is easy. Getting women to realize why they're miserable and connect it to what has been going on and the patterns that they've been trapped in for the past 15 years. That's the hard work. The job is easy.
Right. So, I mean, one thing you posted a while ago, I was reading on LinkedIn, you talked about how a woman, she was telling you that her husband wasn't supportive and she was about to leave him. And all she really needs to do is slow down, sit down, bake some cookies with her kids, spend some time with her husband, and deal with work differently. So, like, why is it that women, this corporate culture, like, how did you, like, crack the code, and how can women start to see what it is and operate differently?
So, the thing about high-achieving women, and I'm not going to say all, but I'm going to say a lot. Every high-achieving woman that I talk to, every ambitious, go-getter, alpha woman, strong woman, has survived some ish, like I said earlier. And we're running from something. We're running from something to check the boxes, to make the money so we don't go back to the hell we came out of, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been through something.
Right.
Even some of my clients, now that I'm getting, they had the two-parent household. They had the you know, the private school and this, but perfectionism is trauma too. I was like, so you're not just a little bit crazy? They like, no, I like crazy women. The crazier the better, right? And crazy is all relative, but crazy because you've smashed through 20 brick walls and you're still never satisfied and you're tired and you're burning out and we need to go back and fix that. But some of the women that I'm getting now, they just boring because perfectionism is trauma. Because if something comes along and you're meant to be perfect, you're one of two, you know, one of the two black kids in the school, and your hair has to be done and your makeup has to be done a certain way, and you have to dress a certain way, that is suffocating as well as you start to get older. Because if something comes along and it erases or it messes up and it interrupts your perfectionism, and now you're exposed to the world, you've never known what it's like to not be perfect in front of everybody. That's exhausting too. So a part of the work that we do is I assist women, one, with getting clear on what do you really want? Not what job you took out of desperation. Right? Not what career path you chose because it was the easiest because of where you are. Some of my women who are high achieving executives were teenage moms. So here you have this A student who is going somewhere and everybody knows them and they mess around and get pregnant. Now, they got to prove to their family and the world that they're not a piece of ish. So now they
work themselves
to death and they never stop. See, that's the thing, is that women are working 20 hours a day for a reason. So either you're still proving people wrong, not even realizing that the baby is 30. You have this, and what I call it is your trauma default. Your trauma default, what is your default response to trauma? Your default response to thinking that you're never going to have enough money because you didn't have enough money 30 years ago, and you're trying to prove to people that you're smart. Or if somebody in your job challenges your intellect, oh, it's over for sisters. It's not necessarily about the person at the job who challenged your intellect. It's somebody in your family who said that you wasn't smart 40 years ago. And you want to fight these people at their job, and you got a PhD, a MPA, a POP, a OPP, MBA. Like, you got all these degrees to show people that you're smart, to prove somebody wrong from 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
So we got to go dig up why. Are you setting the world on fire? So we initially set out to set the world on fire, Z, but the only thing on fire right now is us.
Right. So I've been wanting to ask you this question for a while. It's like, how do, you know, high-powered women navigate, you know, the racism factor? Because, you know, in my experience, I thought I was standing up for myself. I distinctly remember saying how much I wanted to be paid when I was in that world, and how, you know, I should be considered for leadership, but, you know, didn't happen. So what about women in those situations? Like, what can they do?
Here's the thing. If we're working 20 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
Legit. You work before you get to work, you work at work, you know, now it's all virtual, but you're still working. You wake up at 6 o'clock, you check your email, you start working at 9, you clock out at 5, you clock back in at 8 till 12. We can't handle additional levels of responsibility. You simply don't have the capacity to do it. And you studying for an MBA or a PMP or a Six Sigma at night, and you got a family. So you crazy, and everybody know it. You're about to shatter on the rocks. So now you're saying, I want to be promoted to handle additional responsibility. Like, they're like, no. You know who we're going to give it to? We're going to go over there and give it to Jeff, who's doing 10% of what you're doing, because he now has the capacity for additional responsibility. So everything that you're doing to be promoted is now making you unpromotable. We working too much, as opposed to now understanding what we're already carrying. We talked about the Z. What is our existing intellectual property? And how do we now monetize our 20 years of experience and stop being used by these organizations? They know we have value. We don't know we have value. So they just going to treat you how you treat you, which is invaluable.
Oh, wow. Whew. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So, you know, for women, for executives, for entrepreneurs, what are like three things that you see as a common obstacle holding them back from just really mentally making that shift to be more successful in their business and their employment?
Acknowledge that you're on fire. You can't change what you're unwilling to acknowledge. Acknowledge that you're on fire. Acknowledge that you're angry is H-E-L-L. Acknowledge that you got some issues going on that you need to clean up. Acknowledge that you're in a thriller video, because right now, everybody who was locked in their house in 2020 is still trying to run from the skeletons that are standing right beside them right now. You got to unpack some stuff in order to get to the next level. And so an analogy that I like to use, Z, is if you think about when a space shuttle is getting ready to take off, most of the fuel is used in the takeoff. It has that external, that big external tank on it, that big round tank, and it got the rocket boosters on the side.
Right.
Successful women have learned how to channel their pain into fuel to get them off the ground. And everybody in our family don't make it. I've been clocking for a couple of years. It's about 1 out of 3. If it's 6 kids, 2 will make it. If it's 3 kids, 1 will make it. Everybody ain't making it. But we have learned how to channel our pain into fuel to lift us up, to get us off the ground. But what happens with the space shuttle, once it gets off the ground, boom, it drops the rocket boosters because it don't need it no more. And once it gets over the ocean, boom, it drops that external tank, and it kind of go bloop, 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 bloop in the outer space. It's not, it doesn't have to use all that force to go into outer space because it's off the ground.
The problem
with us is we're trying to go into outer space to the next level, carrying everything that we use to get us off the ground. It's not working, which is why most women are falling into the ocean. which is what I did.
Mm. I
went up to the bottom of the ocean, 50,000 meters deep.
Wow.
And almost died. Woo! Wrong. Working too much, doing too much. Mad at the man who was working 80 hours, that was working 30 hours a week while I'm working 80. And he taking credit for all my work. He wrote some stuff that I forgot that I did. He kept track of everything that I did. I was reading his performance evaluation. I said, I forgot I did that. Oh, he kept copious notes on what I did, took credit for all of it.
Wow.
So why am I mad at him, Z? I'm working 80 hours a week. I'm fat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking around thicker than a snicker, like a 12 tight, stressed out, eating honey buns and spinach dip and fried chicken and yeast rolls and donuts every day to soothe the pain of my soul. I'm lonely. I ain't got time to be running game on somebody. I'm working 80 hours a week. And when I go out on the weekends, all I'm doing is running errands and sweatpants, looking crazy, trying to get ready for the next hell week. I'm accustomed to fighting because I expect disrespect when I show up at work. I already know it's 0.1%. It was 50 black female officers out of 47,000 people. So when I walk in the room, you've probably never seen another black person in uniform. You surely ain't seen another sister. And if you did, they did not outrank you. So now I got to deal with all of that. And I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, because military people wear our medals. We wear our resumes on our shirts. So when I walk in the room, you already know I'm the queen. I got to deal with that haterade. So how can, and this is the thing, Z, I'm expecting for DEI policy to save me. I'm expecting for the DEI council that I was a part of trying to create policy protectors, all this dog and pony show that they doing today. I saw this 15 years ago.
Right.
I'm working harder than everybody. I'm doing everything. I'm mentoring 90 officers, right? I'm mentoring 90 people in addition to the 160 people who work for me. While I'm doing my job, and I'm trying to volunteer in the community, going to talk to these children at lunchtime.
You're making me tired just hearing you list it all.
And I got all these degrees. Mm-hmm. So why, Z, am I blaming them for being them when I'm the one who's working hard to be seen and I almost died to learn the lessons that I'm coming to talk about? It's not worth it. Sisters are dying literally of trying to be seen and trying to be promoted, and it's not worth it. So once we change, once we stop working 80 hours a week, once we start to take our health seriously, once we regain our peace, from that place of peace, they will be like, I don't know if I ever seen a senior black woman, and I ain't gonna say a lot, but it's rare to see a senior woman in leadership. It ain't just black. Who has peace? It is rare, one, to see a leader who has complete peace and awareness of who they are. It is rare around the world. You're not with the Harvard. It's 186 people from 45 countries. They were like, Chris, there's something about you. I like you. I don't know what it is. It's something about you. This one, I rose from the bottom of the ocean and got back up. Guy was like, all right, fine. We'll give you Harvard as a consolation prize for not dying. But they liked me. There was something about you that I don't know what it is. It was something. They liked my peace. This men and women, they was like, we don't know what it is, Chris. It's something. They liked the ability for me to be able to say something and not care about how other people felt about what I said. Because when you're a leader, you're paranoid, we tired, we crazy, and we can't tell nobody. And so when we offer insight, we look for other people to support what we said. They be like, you like that? You like that? I say something like this. Hey, you see the look on my face.
Right.
I said, I don't care. I don't need y'all
to say what you said.
I said what I said. It's my perspective. Go ahead.
So, it sounds to me like one of the biggest sources of crazy and dissatisfaction is just, you know, as a high power woman, is just caring too much about what other people think.
Is that, and is not unpacking the baggage that we have and not acknowledging it because we're suffocating in our success. Like, don't nobody want to care. Don't nobody want to hear about a highly successful woman who's suffering. Don't nobody want to hear Christy Rutherford, the great Christy Rutherford, is suffering. Didn't nobody in my family want to hear it? I make 4 times the amount of money that my family make. I'm like one of the first 6-figure earners in my family. They don't want to hear that. My mentors, you know, I'm not going to say they didn't want to hear it, but they didn't have the capacity to hear it because they were looking at my brand. They weren't looking at Christy. They were looking at Commander Rutherford. Does that make sense?
Right. They're looking
at the powerful brand that I created and the image that I created. They don't hear my soul is suffering. So every time I'd be like, I'm suffering, they'd be like this, you'll be all right. And I'm not saying, and I'm not knocking them. They just didn't have the capacity because they got their stuff too.
Right. Everybody's dealing with something. So what, mental health awareness, like what did you do to like when you were at the bottom of the ocean to rise up and breathe the air and have light and peace? What are 3 things that you did to get to that point?
You know, what was interesting about that, that article, I do want to do a side note right quick.
Mm-hmm.
On the article, so I wrote this article that says, you know, black executive coach assists women with earning $1.7 million raises. That was the headline. And the black media said, what's wrong with her? They wanted the trial to the triumph story. White media just published it, Z. Black media was like, we want to put something, we want to tell a traumatic story. Before we talk about her triumph, I said what I said, all right? Some of them wouldn't even publish it unless I changed it. So I did not do that. I didn't agree with it. I was mad, but my coach was like, Chrissy, do it. So you only see one article that's kind of out there, and you had to research to find that one, is out there. That version is out there. Anyway, so back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say that. I was mad about that thing. I was like, why I got to talk about what's wrong with me? Why can't we just stand tall and be powerful? Why do we have to put Anne Frank, an A on our forehead? Unclean. Why we got to say that before I even tell the story? Does that make sense? Unclean. Y'all listen to her now. Like, let's get off that. That wasn't a question that you asked me, but I wanted to go there.
Yeah, I understand. I just want to know, what did you do?
I'm gonna get you there. I took y'all down a side note because I wanted to say that. You can edit that out if you want to. I'm cool with it, but I wanted to say it. So, life made me stop. So we either change through inspiration or desperation. So my goal is to be able to inspire women to change before they hit the bottom. So one, I didn't change on my own free will. I changed because life made me change. Life cracked me up. So when I fell apart and went to the bottom of the ocean and moved in with my brother, I ain't had no money, Z. Like no money. I blew through my $100,000 savings. I'm trying to sell coffee. I was crazy. I didn't stop to address my mental health. I left my job under duress with 3.5 years left to retire with a full pension. I be telling women, y'all better not quit your jobs from entrepreneurship. Because entrepreneurship, people are like, oh, I'm gonna be free. That's a lie. Ain't nobody out here in these streets saying you ain't gonna be rich in 2 weeks. You're not gonna replace a $100,000 salary in 2 weeks.
No, you're not.
Exactly. These Instagram millionaires be lying. Not when, and this is the thing that we don't.
Yeah, it's mostly cap. A lot of it is cap.
Oh, it's all cap.
But continue.
So this is the thing what people don't say. You know, they're like, oh, black women are the largest, you know, population of entrepreneurs. That don't mean that we make money. That's one. Two, mm-hmm. You know, we're leaving. I had 2% brain capacity when I left my job. 2%. I had, you know, my battery is almost out. And nobody told me that entrepreneurship requires 120% brain capacity. So I was destined to fail. So that's one. Life made me stop. So change before life makes you change. That's one. Two, I actually started to, I became unavailable to people because I was available to too many people. I didn't know how to say no. So there are people who are for you, and then there are people who are for what you can do for them. So I'm always pouring into everybody's cup. And I'm not and I don't have anybody pouring in my cup at the same level. Now I mentor 90 people. I got 13 mentors. So I'm pouring from an empty cup because my mentees call me more than I call my mentor. So I didn't stop to fill my cup. So that's two. Stop letting people drain your energy and then complain about it. And I think the biggest thing is I did a lot of work in my personal development. So Napoleon Hill said, if I had the courage to look in the mirror and see myself as I truly am, if I had the courage to look in the mirror, it takes courage.
Yeah, it does.
Look in the mirror and see myself as I truly am, not who my brand says that I am, not who my whole bio says that I am, because I promise you we'll be here all day. That was a short bio that you read, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if I had the courage to look in the mirror and see myself as I truly am, then I will find out what is wrong with me and fix it, as opposed to being like alibis to cover my misfortunes. So once I looked in the mirror and told the truth, that's when I shattered, which is what we're not willing to do, because to stop and acknowledge how far off course we are mentally and physically, we think that is like the Grand Canyon of like, how am I going to get back? So we're more willing to run away and avoid what we know to be true until we run out of time, or until we crack up and end up in the hospital. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, can I now acknowledge where I am? And I tell women all the time, Z, you're not as far away from what you want as you think you are. We just need to do the work to be able to get you on track. And then, you know, it happens like that. So it's acknowledging where you are. And then I ended up doing a lot of personal development. I had to look in the mirror and start to mind my business. And, you know, and that was, I think, the hardest thing was to look in the mirror and be like, you know, you got something going on, you know.
Right.
To rebuild my house on rock instead of sand, because the one that was built on sand got washed away. Now, when I look at my life that was burned down to the ground, and I'm like, and mourned for a long time, I've been telling my clients, it's okay to cry. I cry for about 2-3 weeks, but I cry for like 3 years. Now, it wasn't all bad, Z. When you're going through the ashes, you're going to find like some pictures, or you're going to find a diamond, or you're going to find a brick that wasn't marred. So to lose ourselves in our fire and in our pain, it's not all bad. Go find the good stuff and now build the house with that stuff. And now consciously add the new materials that you need, that you know that's going to work for you, as opposed to building your house in a way that will be pleasing to other people. You only do it to be pleasing to yourself.
Wow, that's powerful. I think, you know, that personal development piece is, out of all the three things that you said, is like really a game changer. Because when you really do look in the mirror and start to really like get to the root of the trauma and why you react the way you react in certain situations, you'll see where you need to make the adjustments and the changes.
Yeah, people see who you see. So there's a scripture that I like to quote. You know, I'm a prosperity preacher. Undercover. 33. When you remember they were getting ready to go into the promised land, they sent the scouts out and the scouts came back. Now, the way that the preachers preach it, they say we look like there were giants in the land. No. That's not what the scripture said. The scripture says we were grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were to them. We were grasshoppers in our own sight.
Right.
And so we were to them. People see who you see. You tired, chewed up, crazy, that's who they see. They don't see a leader. You want them to see you as a leader, but you don't want to see yourself as a leader.
Wow.
You want people to open the door for the queen and you over there acting like a peasant. And you get mad at them because they not treating you better than you treat yourself. You won't even work out. You won't even eat healthy. You won't take 5 minutes to meditate. You say you don't want to play office politics. And then you sit around and blame them. You ain't got no mentors, no coaches, no sponsors. And they the problem? Please get out of here.
I mean, even for entrepreneurs, is like, it blows my mind how many people think that they can build a multi-million-dollar company on like $100.
I mean, you know, the I would say I ended up, I mean, I did it. Does that make sense? So I'm not being hypocritical when I, you know, quote unquote, criticize people. I'm just speaking truth. So right. I wouldn't go to conferences unless my organization paid. I wouldn't join organizations, you know, like the weekend events or like the weekly, monthly events where women in leadership would get together. I wouldn't do that unless my organization paid, which is why I almost died. So we have to be willing to invest in ourselves, and Black women have a challenge with investing in ourselves because we don't consider ourselves to be valuable. We'll spend money on a house. We'll spend money on a car, but we don't see ourselves as valuable. We have not invested in ourselves mentally. And we're so afraid, deathly afraid of looking in the mirror, because if you look in the mirror, that means you got to fix it. So we'd be like, oh, it's easier to blame them. But once you stop, you'd be like, oh my God, it's me. And only then can you set yourself free. The truth shall set you free. So we have to not be afraid of investing in ourselves and our mental and our physical health.
Right. And
believe that we can be different and our lives can be different and we can change. That's my goal. My goal is to let women know that we can actually live a life of total fulfillment. We can be free. We can be happy, but we have to make that decision for ourselves. Nobody is going to give us permission to do that. Nobody.
Right, right, right. Absolutely. It's so true. That's so powerful. We have the power. We have the key.
I mean, people treat you how you treat you. And once and once these women get themselves back in order and remember Z, who they are, the crown is in their hand. They took it off or it got knocked off.
Right.
Put it back on. Huh?
I said, put the crown back on.
Put it back on. And once people see that, they be like, my God, a queen is in the room. They will open the door for them. They be like, what barriers do I need to remove for you to come work for us? None of my clients go apply for jobs. People come to them because a queen has now come in the room. A queen is now on LinkedIn. They be like, wait a minute, hold up. They get called. We ain't searching for no jobs. We ain't chasing no jobs. They come to them because once that energy opens up, God is going to redeem the time, baby. God is going to come give you what life has owed you.
Right, right.
Conversation with Emerson. It's straight law of compensation. It comes back because I would come back. So that's how we've tripled women's salaries. Four sisters got seven-figure packages. Four. One of them turned it down because she didn't want to move. So, yeah. The queen has walked in the room.
Seven-figure packages.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jobs are paying seven figures. $1.2 million. One of my clients got she got $998. She went from about $160 or $220, I can't remember exactly, to $998,000. And she got $475,000 liquid equity for 4 years. She didn't even know what liquid equity was. She had to go look it up. Liquid equity is it vests immediately, and this company grows, their stock grows 30% every year.
Wow. That's incredible.
Once a queen remembers how great she is, she won't put up with BS no more. And once you don't put up with BS, people will treat you how you allow them to treat you. A queen will not allow you to demonize her and to disrespect her and talk down to her. We're not doing that. So we'll leave. 70% of my clients don't leave their jobs, though. But if you need to leave, you'll go seek other opportunities elsewhere. But what they learn is that their job and their haterade boss wasn't a problem. They were the problem. So I'll say this and I'll let it go because I get excited. And, you know, I'll talk loud. But one of my clients, she ended up doing the work. And once she remembered, she was sitting at her desk and her boss walked by. He said, I don't think that it was a new job. I think she had been in like 4 or 6 months. This lady took $100,000 pay cut. And move. So I said, come on, man. This is before we start working together. This is insane. You took $100,000 pay cut and moved because we think that we have to take a pay cut to get out of a toxic job. That's a lie. That's a lie. $100,000 pay cut, sold her house and moved across the country. And I was like, you should be grateful that your husband followed you with this insanity, but whatever, don't be mad at him. He followed you. That means that he loves you. Mm-hmm. Nobody in their right mind gonna do that. But whatever.
$100,000 loss a year? Nah. Nah, boo.
Across the country. Yeah. Z. And so once she did the work, her boss walked by her. It's probably it's a 4-month process, probably after the third month. He kind of stopped and looked at her and was like, I don't think that we did you right and placed you, categorized you properly in this job. So let's talk about it. $20,000 raise. Boom. Like that. Like that. Then he was like, all right, so I want to let you follow me around. Okay, I want you to now brief the leadership team on my behalf when I'm here. Setting her up now for the next level. So then she got another promotion, a 30% raise, and then she got a $20,000 bonus. Like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she loves it. She says, Chrissy, I love it here. I know it's not the number that you gave me. Mm-hmm. But I love it here. I was like this. All right. I mean, you happy? I mean, you know, you need to get that number. So now she's working towards tripling her salary, which is only $100,000 more than what she should have been making anyway. Does that make sense? Has she not taken a $100,000 pay cut to move?
Right. Oh, wow. Wow. That's incredible.
So we got to stop. We got to stop doing these shenanigans and then blaming other people. We have the power. We need to realize that. It's us. It ain't them. They going to do what they do. They going to hate a raid. They going to fancy and dog and pony D&I. They going to say they going to do stuff. They ain't doing nothing. What are you doing?
Right. What are you doing? So on that note, how can people connect with you and take care, you know, utilize your resources? I know you have a mastermind and coaching program.
You have a mastermind.
I have a plethora of resources.
Yep. They can go to changenowwithchrissy.com and they can get my free case study, how to use superpower method to get a 30% raise without burning out or getting another degree. Stop getting all these degrees. One of my clients doubled her salary while in an executive MBA program. She didn't need that second master's degree. She just didn't know how to ask for her money. So we got it for her long before she graduated. She's still going to finish. I'd be like, child, you don't need that degree. But whatever. But it's changenowwithchrissy.com.
Changenowwithchrissy.com. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And man, that's a lot of great nuggets. I hope everybody has taken some great notes. So you're listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show podcast, where we help you to get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen. So today's guest on the SEO Queen Tech Show is one of my personal inspirations, the globally recognized leader, Chrissy Rutherford. And I just want to say thank you again for coming on to the podcast and give the listeners your website address one more time.
Okay. Z1, I appreciate you inviting me. We were supposed to get together last month. That just didn't work. but thanks for your persistence and your tenacity and really, you know, for the work that you do in the world, because it takes a lot to be able to maintain a podcast and a successful podcast at that. So I want to thank you for inviting me. And again, you all can go to Chrissy, changenowwithchrissy.com. Chrissy. Holla, y'all.
Holla.
It's time to grow with the SEO team. Get visibility like never before. The traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow. The SEO Queen, receive the perfect leads like never before. No traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.